Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, flying solo again this week. I got a good show for you today, a very topic-heavy show. Not going to be going too much. I'm not going to have a watch list this week just because, it's funny. I realized this like right in the middle of me giving you the watch list for the non-college football playoff games. The Florida Tulane game was the non-college football playoff game. I recommended you guys watch, and then in the middle of it, I realized, because I said you guys should watch cornerback Caleb Ransaw, who I think would be a nice fit for the Chiefs. But then I realized he's probably not going to play because he's probably entering the draft. Oh, he's definitely entering the draft, and it makes no sense for him to play in a meaningless bowl game and risk his health. And he did not play in that game. So if you watched the Florida Tulane game, I mean, good on you for following my recommendation. You probably should be watching that because you could be watching a future first round pick at quarterback in DJ Lagway. He's a true freshman. He's got some stuff to work on, but very talented kid. But I apologize for recommending players and him and Crenshaw Dixon, players who were not going to play because it was a meaningless bowl game and these guys want to prepare for the draft. So won't be giving you a watch list this week because there are not any college football playoff games this weekend. They will resume middle of next week, I think on New Year's Eve. So I will have one for next week's broadcast. But I will give you a recap later on. Of players who did play this past weekend in the college football playoff games. Plus, I'm going to give you a little commentary what I think people are misunderstanding about the value of the college football playoff expansion. But what I want to start is, I think you probably know where I'm going to start. If you listen to this podcast regularly, first off, me and Bing appreciate you doing that. But we're going to start with Xavier Worthy and his progression. And I think his game that he played on Saturday, I think you might be able to call that the arrival for him. Now, we got to see what he does down the line. We got to see if he's able to consistently bring that kind of a performance the rest of the regular season and into next season, into the playoffs and then into next season. Because one game doesn't mean that you have reached the goal that you want to. You got to do it consistently in sports. But I think if we're going to point to a time, if he does consistently start to churn out numbers and be a reliable receiver, I think Saturday's game against the Texans is the game that we're going to point to and say that that was the arrival. He was the best receiver on the field for the Chiefs. this past Saturday. In that game, he had 7 catches for 65 yards and a receiving touchdown. He also had 3 carries for 10 yards as well. And he dropped what should have been a second touchdown pass. I don't think it was intended for him. I think it was intended for Travis Kelce. It's a good thing that he got his hands on it, because otherwise it might have been a pick. But I do think that Xavier Worthy should have had that one. Should have had a second touchdown, which would have put that game away. And it reminds me of Rashee Rice's game last year in Vegas, end of November. And the Chiefs were down in that game, and then Rashee got this great catch and run, shallow cross, coming underneath the zone. I think it might have been man coverage on that play. It was zone. Coming underneath the zone and catches an easy shallow cross, takes it up the sidelines. Nobody can touch him. Nobody can catch him. And he is able to saunter into the end zone. And I think that was the game where we felt like Rashee was finally starting to reach his potential. You saw it throughout. You saw it a little bit there. I mean, he caught a touchdown catch in his very first NFL game in that Lions game. And you saw that potential, but he hadn't quite really broken out until that Raiders game in Vegas. And, you know, I really think this could be the point where we may say that he finally started to hit his stride as a receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. And as you know, I said all throughout the offseason, I didn't think he was going to have the traditional Chiefs wide receiver first, you know, rookie year, where the guys basically don't do anything in their rookie years because there's a huge learning curve with Andy Reid's offense. I thought that he was going to have closer to 2016 rookie Tyreek Hill's season, where he was not the number one option. He was their second best receiver behind Jeremy Maclin, played a lot of slot, moved around a lot, gadget player. And let's remind you of that stat line that Tyreek Hill had. In 16 games played that season, he played the entire season, he had 61 receptions for 593 receiving yards and 6 receiving touchdowns. He also had 24 carries for 267 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. Now let's compare that to rookie Rashee Rice's numbers. First, let's start with the rushing numbers. They're not as good because he is not a running back. Tyreek Hill was a converted running back into a wide receiver. But 18 carries, 94 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns for him. So he's already matched the rushing touchdowns total, but with significantly less yards. Significantly less yards per carry. I mean, Tyreek averaging over 10 yards a carry in his rookie year as this gadget guy is crazy numbers. Meanwhile, you've got just over 5 yards a carry for Xavier Worthy. So, I mean, there's a huge difference there in terms of the efficiency. But the receiving numbers, though, 51 receptions for 559 yards, 5 receiving touchdowns. Next week, I mean, I don't think he's going to pass him in the receptions numbers in 16 games. I think there's a very good chance that he passes him in touchdowns and passes, or at least matches him in touchdowns and passes him in receiving yards. And at that point, not to say that he's going to make the big jump from year one to year two like Tyreek did as a wide receiver, where he goes from being a gadget player in 2016 to being a legitimate number one wide receiver in 2017. I'm not going to say all that. I think it's going to be a little tough for X because, one, I think Hollywood Brown's going to be back next year. I also think there's a very good chance that DeAndre Hopkins could be back next year because you kind of look at the scenario and Hopkins might still feel some hunger to keep playing, and it makes a lot of sense for him to come back in Kansas City and try to win another chip. If he wins one this year, he could also retire. He could also be like, I'm good. You know, let me rest this torn MCL and, you know, let me ride off into the sunset. But he could come back and try to get another one if they win, or try to get one if they don't win it this playoff run. But I do think Hollywood comes back, because Hollywood just had his first game back this past Saturday. You saw some of the explosiveness that they were looking forward to seeing throughout the season. But I don't think he's going to get the kind of contract he's looking for, because he didn't play very much this year. So I think Hollywood has a very good chance of coming back and playing for the Chiefs next season. Him and Mahomes, they seem to have some really good chemistry. You kind of saw that a little bit on display against the Texans. And I'm looking forward to seeing that grow some more. So I don't really know if he's going to go anywhere. But I also think that Xavier Worthy is going to have some opportunities to showcase what growth he has this offseason next year because of the Rashi Rice situation. Rashi Rice tore ligaments in his knee. I believe it was the PCL he tore. So they said 10 to 12 months is the recovery time. It happened early in the season, but still, like, you never know with those injuries. And he may also be suspended for an extended amount of time in next season because of the whole street racing situation down in Dallas. He might not be back until the middle of next season. And if that's the case, Xavier Worthy will have some opportunities to go out there and increase his workload, increase his usage. He'll have some opportunities to show his growth. So it's possible that he can take that step forward and grow from year one to year two, but I wouldn't quite count on the 2017 Tyreek Hill coming out of Xavier Worthy, but I am incredibly impressed with what he's done. He was very smart. There was one play, a touchdown drive, where he could have reached the ball out and tried to see if he can stretch out and get that touchdown. Instead, he was smart. He kept it in there and allowed the Chiefs an opportunity to go get a touchdown later, you know, I think it was like a play or two later. It's always great to see that. I'm very impressed with what I've seen from Xavier Worthy since that Buffalo game. And, you know, there's been some hiccups with him this year. Hiccups with, you know, making the catch when he needs to. Keeping his feet. I mean, he did have a would-be touchdown, didn't keep his feet in bounds. Should have been. I mean, it was a great attempt by him of getting that ball in. He just didn't get his second foot in bounds, and so unfortunately not a touchdown there. He's had an issue with getting his feet in bounds all season long on those deeper passes, but man, you see this kid, you see the talent. I mean, I'm very excited about what he could be for the Chiefs, and I think this might be the time where we say in the future that was the point that Xavier Worthy arrived as a true weapon for the Kansas City Chiefs. I do also want to kind of piggyback off of this point and talk about some of the criticisms that were kind of lobbied at some of the Chiefs coaching staff last year. If you remember, like, you know, was it mid-February? It was mid-November. Maybe it was like right before the Eagles game. The Chiefs were having big problems in the receiving core. I mean, they've kind of had problems this year with it, but it's not the same kind of problems. It's more so guys getting open than anything. But last year was like guys getting open and guys dropping the football. And I remember Chiefs wide receivers coach Connor Embry came out and did a press conference. And man, it didn't go well for him. He was mumbling and stuttering his way through this press conference. He didn't look very confident. I mean, he kind of didn't look like he knew what he was doing. But at the same time, when I saw that, I gave him a little grace. And the reason why I gave him a little grace is this. Not every one of these people, when you put a microphone in front of their face, is going to be very confident. Half of y'all, if y'all got on a microphone in front of some people and they started asking you questions about your job, you'd probably be stuttering and mumbling your way through that press conference too. Not all y'all can talk. Like I didn't heard some of y'all's podcasts, y'all can't talk. It's just how it is. I mean, when I got started in the game, it was a far cry from what I do now. I was real quiet.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Having to turn the volume on my microphone up to max just so that the volume matched what Cody and Ryan were doing when they were talking, because they were seasoned enough to know how to talk on the air and how to project their voice and whatnot. So I gave them a little grace for that. And I think a lot of the criticism that people had for him wasn't even about him per se. It was about the frustration of not really being able to not really wanting to blame Brett Veach for deciding that he was going to go into the season with Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Sky Moore as his three receivers that are going to help the Chiefs go on their quest to repeat as Super Bowl champions. So instead of, you know, blaming the players and blaming Brett Veach for the questionable approach, when during the offseason we wanted them to be more aggressive in getting help for Patrick Mahomes in the receiving core, we were asking them, hey, you know, maybe you should try signing DeAndre Hopkins, putting him on the team so that you have someone that you can at least rely on to be a good target for your quarterback as you try to win another Super Bowl. We were frustrated by that, and I get that. But it's funny now because you don't hear any people questioning Embry's ability to coach now that you have Rashee Rice, who balled out in the second half of the season, balled out in the playoffs, and was by far their best wide receiver. And then now that you've got Xavier Worthy starting to show you a little something, you see what he can do. You just know that there's some small parts of his game he's got to work on so that he can put it all together. I don't hear any criticism for Embry now. I don't even hear anybody bring his name up when over a year ago, 13 months ago, people were calling for that man's job. And I mean, I don't know the guy, never met him before. So, I mean, I can't speak to his character. I can't even speak to his coaching ability. I've never seen that man coach. But I believe that when it comes to player development, you got to give these guys time to pick the game up. Now, granted, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, veteran, he shouldn't be dropping the ball. That's not the coach's fault. That's his fault. He's a veteran. He was a veteran when he came to Kansas City. He shouldn't be dropping the damn ball. But Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, those guys needed to be given a little bit of grace as far as their development was going. Now, Kadarius Toney has had other issues besides that. I think sometimes he gets in his head real bad, and he knows he's really talented, but sometimes he tries to do too much, and he gets hurt, or he drops the football. He makes all these mistakes because I think, see, you know, in his head, he gets in his head sometimes, and it's ruined his career because he's had three different rosters that he's been on since he's started his career, and I don't think anyone's picked him up since he got cut by the Browns, what was it, a week or two ago? Kadarius Toney's issues were not Embry's fault. Sky Moore, a DB that was converted to a wide receiver and turned into a guy that early in his rookie campaign we saw, like we were like, okay, this guy might be able to return kicks. This guy might be able to be a weapon as a slot receiver in the offense. Made a few plays, but not very many. But we knew he was a really good athlete, just didn't quite turn it on. Made a lot of mistakes in the special teams, muffed punts and whatnot. He never put it together. 2.5 years in the league, and Rashi Rice and Xavier Worthy have both outperformed him as rookies. In their rookie years, they have both outperformed him in his entire NFL career, entire 2.5 years that he's played, because right now he's currently on IR. Definitely not coming back to the roster. He's definitely done. I'm not sure he's going to be back next year. I think they might end up letting him go. I just think that it's much smarter for us to blame the people that acquired the players and blame the players themselves for them not panning out than to go out there and start hassling position coaches. I don't hear none of y'all hassling Andy Heck for Kingsley Suamata'ia and Wanya Moore is not quite panning out quite yet. Though, you know, I'll talk a little bit later about Wanya. He might have found a little role for himself. But I don't hear anybody getting on Andy Heck about Kingsley Suamata'ia. I don't hear anybody getting on Joe Colan about Felix Onyedike Uzomah, who has not panned out. This is a year and a half in the league, almost 2 years in the league, and he hasn't really done much of anything other than a few good tackles for loss in the run game. These guys are responsible for a large part of their development. Yes, position coaches are very, very important, but sometimes you either got it or you don't. And we're seeing them bring in guys that actually have it and it's working. Rashi Rice has it. It's working. Setback with the injury, but it's working. Xavier Worthy got it too. And it's working now. So let's stop blaming Matt Nagy for the offense when Andy Reid calls the plays. Let's blame the people that are actually a part of the ones that are in charge of doing this. If the offense isn't performing well, it's on the players and it's on Andy Reid. Because they're the ones that make the calls. If a passing play doesn't work out, blame it on Andy or blame it on Patrick who checked to the play. Because sometimes Patrick will check out of a run into a passing play. Blame it on those guys. Don't blame Eric Bieniemy for Patrick Mahomes falling apart in the second half of the AFC Championship game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Blame Patrick. He deserved all the blame for that. He took all the blame for that. And you know what? He came back next year, won the Super Bowl. It's okay to blame people for the people actually responsible for their mistakes. It doesn't mean that you hate them. It just means you're holding them accountable. But when you're trying to hold the wrong people accountable, you end up hassling people that don't need to be hassled. One player I think is making some good strides in his rookie campaign for the Chiefs is Jaden Hicks, my guy from the 2024 draft, my second favorite player behind Xavier Worthy from this draft class, easily my favorite defensive player that they picked. I thought Jaden Hicks was going to be more of a short yardage, underneath, play short zone coverage, play a lot of man coverage on running backs and tight ends running shorter routes. And I thought he was going to be more of a force in the run game, more of a force as a blitzer. And instead, they've been using him as a deep safety. And he's been awesome. 3 picks on the season this year. He had a pick in the 49ers game when they played in Santa Clara. And then he's had picks in the last 2 games. And I'm really excited about what we are seeing from this kid, man. And I did kind of lead y'all astray with the snap count percentage number I gave y'all. Was it 2 or 3 weeks ago? Hicks had not played over 50% of the defensive snaps in the season up until the last 2 games. The last 2 games against the Browns and then this past week against the Texans. Those are the first 2 games where he had played over 50% of the defensive snaps. His numbers were rising. He was in the 30 to 40% range. But this was the first week where his defensive snaps played. His snap count for defensive snaps was over 50%. And I'm really happy to see that. I think they've been trying to ease this guy in. Spags' system is not easy to learn. I mean, you've heard Justin Reed talk about it. Nick Bolton talk about it. I think Justin Reed said he didn't feel comfortable with it until, I think it was like November or December of his first year with the team. Which you could tell because early on in the season he was struggling a little bit, but in the latter part he really started to make some plays. Jaden Hicks is a guy that I think he fits really, really well into the culture. This is a guy who has some of that spark to him. He can lay the wood. He's a big hitter, great tackler. One of the things you saw in that Texans game, every time they were throwing those short little screen passes, wide receiver screens, they were getting blown up. There was a play where, I think it was Trent McDuffie, was getting blocked by a receiver, and another receiver, a slot receiver, was getting, had received, or maybe it was a running back, had received a screen pass or a bubble screen pass. And Trent McDuffie just got off the block, made the tackle for like a 2-yard loss. It was beautiful. That's what I thought Jaden Hicks was going to be. Seeing Jaden Hicks play deep safety, go over the top of these receivers, and catch these overthrown footballs because there's tight man coverage. And so you don't want to throw the ball underneath because if you throw it underneath, the guy underneath is going to pick it off. So you throw it over the top. And a lot of these receivers aren't expecting to get the ball because they're pretty well covered. And you got C.J. Stroud, who kind of panicked a little bit because pressure's getting there. Throws the ball over the top. Jaden Hicks right there, easy pick. Love that. Love the ball-hawking aspect of the defense. Trent McDuffie as well. Finally got his first pick last week against the Browns. First time in his career, he played over 50 games, didn't have any picks. Last 2 weeks, he's gotten picks. These are the kind of plays right here that help you win football games against good teams. Turnovers are massive. The Chiefs were winning without getting sacks and without getting turnovers early in the season. Now they're starting to do both. And it's good to see guys like Jaden Hicks become a part of that because that is how you beat the top teams in the NFL. Another guy I want to give a lot of credit to, guy who's made some strides, guy who got a little crap a few weeks ago for how he played against the Raiders, Wanya Morris. I say this about accountability a lot. I love when players accept responsibility for their shortcomings, for them not playing well. I don't like when I hear players or coaches start pointing fingers and blaming things or saying, man, we thought we did the right thing or whatever. You know, just accept the blame. You didn't do the right thing. Or, you know, I mean, even if technically you did, accept the blame. Because then it looks like you're trying to pass blame off. You're trying to avoid accountability. Wanya didn't do that. Wanya is like, hey, the issues with Max Crosby in that Raiders game, they were my fault. Even though Andy probably should have been smarter and made sure that he had some chips on hand to aid his injured left tackle, because, you know, one, he's been dealing with the knee thing, the bone bruise. Which, if you notice, since Joe Tooney's taken over at left tackle, he's been getting a lot of help. He's been getting some chips. You've seen Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco go over there and help him out a little bit, and then they sneak out into the flats so they can try to get a check down if they need to. And Wanye had an opportunity to redeem himself. I thought he did a little bit of that in the Chargers game when he came in for DJ Humphreys, who injured his hamstring. Thought he looked pretty good for what was just a few plays. It was like 9 plays, I think it was. And then on Saturday's game, he comes in place of Juwan Taylor, who injured his knee. I think Juwan was limited in practice today. I think I just saw that before I came into the studio. And he had an opportunity to show what he could do at right tackle this time. His more natural position, it was the position he played when he was at Oklahoma before he got drafted by the Chiefs. Granted, he also did play, he did actually end up playing more snaps at left tackle when he was in college, because he was a left tackle at Tennessee before he moved to right when he went to Oklahoma. So experience on both, more snaps at left, but right tackle seemed like it was his more natural position. It was only 20 snaps. I'm not going to judge him too much on it. But one of the narratives coming out of the game was that Wanye Morris might have found his position. He actually looked pretty decent. Pretty good, if I dare say, at right tackle. And so now that's going to cause a discourse around Juwan Taylor's contract and whether you can get out of it. And man, I would love if the Chiefs could get out of his contract. Unfortunately, it's not really that doable. And the reason why is because he still has $34 million in dead cap money after this season. And his cap hits $27 million. So even if you made him a post-June 1, you're not really saving very much money, if at all. I actually think you are losing a little money still if you decide to make him a post-June 1 cut. Now, if you were to trade him away, you obviously would have to eat a lot of that salary. And so that doesn't seem like the most economical move there. But it is encouraging that Wanye looked comfortable there, because there could be a situation where Juwan Taylor gets hurt again. Juwan Taylor he's been very underwhelming. I like the dude. I think he's got a good mindset the way he plays football. He's incredibly mistake prone. Just like last year, there was times where it was like, why did you bring this guy in? Like, why is this dude on the team if he can't even line up properly? And he's had issues with lining up. He's had issues with false starts. I mean, you can literally point out almost every game where it looks like he false starts. I mean, yeah, there's so many issues with his game. But he's been serviceable as a right tackle this year. And because of that, I don't think it's very feasible to get rid of him. I think it's very possible that next season will be, I think it's actually almost assured that 2025 is the last year that Juwan Taylor is going to be on your roster. He's gone after next season. They can save I think it's like $20 million or something. It's a nice number, and definitely it's like $20 million. So you can save $20 million by cutting him after the 25 season. But it just doesn't make sense, even as a post-June 1. I know I was talking about it in the offseason, about him potentially being a post-June 1. That's not feasible. I looked at the spot track numbers. Not feasible. But it's nice that you get something with Wanye. Wanye's giving you a little value now. again, it's only 20 snaps. I'm not saying he's your future starting right tackle once Juwan Taylor leaves, because if you're a serviceable right tackle, he might be out of the Chiefs' price range after the 26th season. I mean, he might be out of the Chiefs' price range because this is his second year in the league, so he would be going into the final year of his contract in 26. I mean, I think you're getting 1 year out of him if he is serviceable. If you're probably getting 1 year out of him, and then he goes somewhere else, and he probably gets a decent amount of money. Not a great amount of money, decent amount of money. So I'd hold up on, you know, putting him in that category of being the next future starting right tackle for the next few years. And I would not pay him premium money either. I would not, even if it was like a middle class right tackle contract, I'm not paying him that, because I've seen enough from him to know that he's got up and down game. I would much rather they look elsewhere if they're going to go that regard. But it's nice to know that if something happens with Juwan, you could put Wanye over there and he might be all right. I want to see more of him in that role. We'll see if, I mean, at this point now, I'm kind of leaning towards Wanye starting at right tackle with Juwan being limited in practice right now, and with the game for the Chiefs being on Wednesday, 2 days from the time that I'm recording this. Well, a day and a half now. It's late afternoon. It's getting dark now. But I do think it is nice.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
To at least know that you can put Wanye over there and it'll probably look all right. So my final topic here before we get to the round one recap of the college football playoff. I think the discourse has been happening all weekend long. It was happening on Twitter. You had Lane Kiffin complaining about his team not getting to the college football playoff, even though, you know, Ole Miss had an opportunity to get in. They were a top 10 team. They went to Gainesville, played my Florida Gators. Jackson Dart threw like two or three interceptions at the end. Well, two should have been three, but they called one back. But he threw a bunch of interceptions at the end of regulation, and they ended up losing that game to the Gators. I completely understand why people are up in arms about teams like SMU, Indiana getting in. And the reason why is because the College Football Playoff Committee has changed the criteria. Last year, it was about who are the best, the four best teams in the nation. They're getting in. And because of the fact that Florida State was going to be without Jordan Travis, who was injured, they were going to have to play with, I think it was Tate Rodemaker was their backup. Though I think he might have been questioned because he got hurt in the Florida game. He got a concussion in that game, so I don't know if he would have been available. But, you know, they had their backup quarterback. They didn't have Jordan Travis, who was their starter all year long. And that led to him, the committee deciding that they were going to give Alabama the nod over a not quite as good, but more accomplished Florida State team. Because Florida State, undefeated, won the ACC. Based on that, they should have got in. I agreed with the committee's approach of put the four best teams in. But I also thought that with the expansion of the College Football Playoff, they were going to do what they did this year, which is we're going to give some of these teams that have better records but may not be quite as good as those SEC and Big Ten teams. We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, prove to us that you belong in the College Football Playoff. Now, this weekend, SMU and Indiana, really Clemson kind of too, didn't really belong in there. Especially like SMU and Indiana. Even though Indiana only lost by like 10, I think it was. It was not very close. It was domination on the part of Notre Dame. And I think if the College Football Playoff Committee is going to keep this approach of we're going to put in the 12 teams that are the most accomplished, which is what they did this year, just keep it that way. It's not what I would do. I would put the 12 best teams in. Certainly, yeah, we'll have the conference winners get in. You know, if you win Power Four, you get in. You know, if you're like an undefeated or, you know, one loss group of five team, I'd put you in. You know, put some of the really, really good conference game losers in, you know, depending on what their records are and how they performed as a late. Yeah. But I'm cool with you making the criteria, the 12 most accomplished teams getting in. You just can't change it year to year. Keep it as one thing. If you do that, I mean, look, people are going to complain about it, but at least people know exactly what they need to do. The teams know exactly what they need to do to get in. I'm fine with Alabama not getting into the College Football Playoff. Alabama, I watched that game. They went down. For them, it's up to Norman. And they got smacked around by the Sooners. That was not a competitive game. Like, that was a game where they just got mobbed from start to finish. They were out-muscled. They were pushed around. Jalen Milroe did not look good at all. They were getting pushed around from start to finish. I completely get why the committee was like, that team is not one of the 12 best teams in the nation. Even if they have a ton of talent, even if they play in a tougher conference, I think if they would have, if Alabama would have played in the ACC, they probably would have been undefeated. You know what? Should have won the games that you had. This is you guys signed up for it when you allowed Texas and Oklahoma to get into the conference to make it even harder for you to win. This is the thing you got to live with. I'm perfect, and I'm an SEC guy. I'm a Florida guy. But I'm perfectly cool with them saying, We're not going to let in three lost SEC teams in if there's a one-loss ACC team that lost in their conference championship game. I'm cool with it because, to me, that means that the results matter. And one of the reasons that people were complaining about the college football playoff expansion was that they felt like it was going to take away the importance of the regular season. Oh, no, with this system, it's still incredibly important. And you still have to earn your spot in, and you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt just because you play in a hard conference. I'm cool with that. Just keep it that way. And you know, in regards to people complaining about the blowouts, I remember the 2021 NFL playoffs, which was the first year that they did the expansion where they added one extra wild card team in each conference. So instead of six teams making the playoffs, it was seven teams, and they eliminated the bye for the two seed, and so only the one seed gets the bye. And what happened that wild card weekend back in 2021? Three of the six games were blowouts. There was almost a fourth one that was teetering on a blowout, but it was only a two-score game, but still, like, it was pretty damn close. And what was the discourse? What was the talk about the state of the NFL playoffs after that? Man, it was a mistake expanding the NFL playoffs. Then what happened the very next year? Four of the six playoff games were one-score games. And it was a lot more competitive. You almost saw a 2-7 upset. Miami, with their backup quarterback, only lost by three to Buffalo. And it was a lot more exciting. Now, you know, the year after that, it wasn't quite as competitive. I mean, you saw both 2-7 matchups, you know, there was a 2-7 matchup upset last year, Green Bay over Dallas. But the other one was a two-score game, Buffalo over Pittsburgh. And that was fun. That was exciting. It was actually really great to watch the Packers go out there and smack around the Cowboys like that. And that is my point. We jumped the gun on the criticism of the NFL expansion, of the NFL playoff expansion, and it actually turned out to be really good. We saw a great upset last year. I mean, if the Cincinnati Bengals end up getting the seventh seed and playing against the Buffalo Bills in the first round of the NFL playoffs, maybe they pull off the upset at Highmark Stadium up there in Orchard Park. It's very possible. And if that happens, I mean, you'll never hear any sort of criticism for the expansion of the NFL playoffs ever again. I mean, hell, you're not even really seeing it now. Now I think people are more excited about the extra team being in there. Now, granted, in college football, there's more blowouts. There's a blowout in the national championship game a couple years ago. It's going to happen. I mean, we literally have watched it happen multiple times in the BCS system and the college football playoff system. It's going to happen. But you know what? The more times that these good teams make the college football playoff, and the more that we see NIL spread out the talent around, so you don't have teams like Alabama and Georgia hoarding talent on their roster, that's good for the rest of college football because it means that there's going to be more parity. And that is good for the game. I'm cool with the expansion, even if it starts out with some blowouts, because what's going to happen is down the line, some of these schools are going to get better recruiting. They're going to get more NIL money. They're going to have more donors contributing money because they're like, okay, we know we can get into the dance. Now we want to win the damn championship. Let's put some more money in. Let's get some of these blue chip players, some of these blue chip recruits. Let's see if we can get some guys on the portal that are really good players but aren't getting playing time where they're at, and let's try to chase a championship. And you know what's going to happen? All it takes is for one of those teams to surprise everybody and win the national championship or even get to the game, and it's going to change everything. And I don't think anyone will complain about the expansion again. Like, the first time we see an upset between like the 5 and the 12, that's going to blow everyone's mind. That's going to be a huge, huge upset, and all of a sudden we're going to be talking about how great the college football playoff is, and we're going to be singing the praises of college football in general. Let this whole thing play out. I'm fine if Indiana didn't look like they belonged. I'm fine if SMU didn't look like they belonged. I'm fine if Tennessee didn't look like they belonged. There's going to be some growing pains, but I do think it's going to get more competitive, and I do think it's going to be an improved product over time. So let's let things play out for now. Let's be patient for now, because generally when this stuff happens in sports, it ends up being better for the sport. So moving on to the college football playoff round one recap, starting with Notre Dame and Indiana. Edge rusher Riley Mills had a sack in that game. He also did kind of go down with like an ankle foot injury, but I mean, he was very dominant against a very weak Hoosiers offensive line. A Hoosiers offensive line that was they were abused by the Buckeyes a few weeks ago. Binks guy, tight end Gunnar Helm for Texas, as they played Clemson, he had 6 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. That kid is tough. You know, he can make those catches over the middle, lower his shoulder, barrel into defenders, and just drive his legs and get extra yards. NFL teams love that, and I think this guy's definitely going to be someone to look out for in that pre-draft process. Both edge rushers for Penn State balled out. Danny Dennis Sutton had 1.5 sacks against SMU. Abdul Carter, my top edge rusher in this draft class, he had a sack in that game as well. And then finally, in that Ohio State-Tennessee matchup from Saturday night, Travion Henderson had 10 catches for 80 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns, 10 carries for 80 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. He also had 4 catches for 54 receiving yards. Really got to showcase his skills there. This is a guy to look out for on day 2. Wide receiver Emeka Egbuka, he had 5 catches for 81 yards. And then both the edge rushers for the Buckeyes, they went out there and they had great games as well. JT Tuimoloau had 2 sacks. And Jack Sawyer had a sack and a half in that game. So, like I said, don't have a watch list for this week because, you know, most of the guys I would tell you to watch probably won't be playing because they're either in the transfer portal going somewhere else or they are sitting out so they can stay healthy for the pre-draft process. So I would appreciate it if you download, subscribe, give us 5 stars wherever you listen to the podcast. It is greatly appreciated. I hope you guys have a happy and safe holiday season, whatever holiday you choose to celebrate. I hope it is a great time for you and your family. And, you know, we're coming up really fast here on the Senior Bowl, on the Shrine Bowl, the Combine. That pre-draft process is here. I think the Senior Bowl practices and whatnot are going to be like in a month. So this is going to be real, real quick. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us. I'm Kristen Osero, and this has been the Character Concerns Podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.